In the name of the Lord Jesus, we begin our sessions about music. Those of you who don't know me, okay, I'm Josephine Liu. I'm a music teacher. I teach in a secondary school. I've been teaching for a very long time. Just a kind of general overview, okay? My family is quite musical. My sister is also a music teacher, but she teaches in Hong Kong. But she's a primary music teacher. So I've actually spoken to her quite a bit about this because I've been out of the little children. I've not taught very, very young for a very long time. I used to teach in a middle school, so the youngest I would have taught there was 9. You know, but I've sort of canvassed quite a lot of people, you know, when it came to certainly the younger age group for this particular seminar. I also, because this is partly with aspects of Africa as well. Now, I haven't been to Africa, but I've got various, it's very strange sort of links in that I teach various bits of African music in school, but I also teach African children in school. So even though I've not been to Africa, there are other links. But again, I've actually spoken to quite a few other people who've been to Africa as part of church, and I think there's a couple of people in here who've also been to Africa, you know, so you, I would imagine, have a lot more experience than I do. Like first-hand experience is what I'm talking about, to do with music. Now, I'm not currently an RE teacher, but I teach quite a lot of music in church, you know, so I've taught choir for a very, very long time. Accompany in church, you know, folk choir, or and play the piano for church services and things like that as well. So, you know, in many ways, you know, my experiences when it comes to music in church is quite broad. You know, so I mean, even when I was an RE teacher before I had children, I taught very young children, but I also taught the very old. You know, they're right at the top end of the RE system as well. So I've got quite a wide experience, but I'm kind of hoping that we can kind of discuss your experience as well. Obviously, some of you who might teach the older lot, some of you might teach much, much younger. Some teach here, some teach abroad in other countries and so on. So I think it'll be quite useful for us to just share some of our experiences or some of our ideas on how to teach or what methods you teach, what you find useful. So just as a quick idea, what sort of age group do you teach? Okay, if we can just go around, if you're currently teaching any particular class or in the past you've taught. So I've already said I've taught the very young, but I've also taught the very old, you know, right at the top end of the RE system. Okay, like Selena. Nice. Let's go around.
Well, I have in the past taught like the middle group, so the sort of 10 to 11 kind of age, but now I'm going down to like kindergarten class, so it's a
change. I think that'll be quite a big difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm teaching CUNY class, but I'm not musical at all. I don't know anything about music, sorry.
So can we just say what age group? Because I understand that in America the system is slightly different. Like what we call, well, the names of the classes are different as well, yeah?
12 to 15.
I started off with teaching age about 7, 8, and then moved up with them as they grew up to IYC, so about 16, 17. And then I went back down to another class, JYC, which is about 14, 13. So. And then moved back down again to UPC now.
Yeah. I teach 9 to 10 at the minute, so, but I've taught some of them from about 5, so after, from kindergarten, yeah, so about 5 to 10.
I taught from 3 to 10, up and down, but usually at that age group, now it's 6 to 8. I used to teach 13, 14, and now I'm teaching 3 to 5 now.
So teaching 3 to 5 and also 15, 16.
Oh, you teach 2 lots? That's a lot of preparation then.
Between 14 and 15
year olds.
have a teaching experience in China to the children in from 3 to 6 years old, as in nursery, and also in primary school and middle school, and also adult, and also some older people.
Teaching
13 to 15-year-olds. I'm not an art teacher, but I've taught some songs that I learned like in during like youth fellowship and stuff.
Okay, right. So I think from our group here, you know, we've got a really wide range. Now I'm glad about that because I'm actually covering the whole age group. You know, so if nothing else, you know, we should be able to share some of our experiences. You know, so if when I'm talking about your particular age group. Or I'm talking about something that you know, the age group that you've taught before, you should be able to, one, relate to it, and two, be able to talk about what you found useful, or even if there was anything that you thought, you know, you encountered something that you find quite difficult to sort out. Now, I'm focusing in particular with music, but the first lesson I'm going to do is quite general, you know, just general ideas on what might be quite useful, even though, you know, it's mostly about the music aspect, okay? Right. So I've got 6 lessons. I was only going to do 3 today and the 3 tomorrow, but we've had a slight change of plan, so I'm going to do 4 today and 2 tomorrow. Now, the first lesson, we're going to talk about examples of singing in the Bible. I'm kind of hoping that you'll be able to give me examples, so we can just write it on the board and we can just share some ideas, okay? Now, we'll look at the purpose for singing. Now, purpose and reason can be two different things, right? Because there are certain specific times that you might use singing, but a reason for singing, it could be, more to do with your feelings rather than a specific time, per se. Okay, and we're going to look at some of the wider context of music, not just singing, okay, the wider context about music in the Bible, and then some general techniques that you might find useful or you might want to share some of your own. The next lesson after lunch, we're going to look at the 47-year-olds. Now, I know sometimes it actually goes younger than that, and so the nursery class generally starts at 3, but there's a reason why I've split up the age that we have split up, and I'll explain that later on. Now, generally when we're looking at the younger age, we're kind of introducing about God. Who is God? Why do we even need to praise this God? Right? And how, in what ways do we praise him? Okay? And again, some teaching techniques. So you might have seen before, I've got some video clips of some of the classes in Newcastle, you know, so I asked very kindly for some of the teachers and even some of the students to video themselves, you know, so we can get an idea and maybe from that we can use that as a talking point, okay? Lesson 3, we'll look at the 8 to 12-year-olds. By then, you know, a lot of them actually know, you know, they have a pretty good idea about God, right? But it's the concept, it's not the concrete things anymore. They know about a God, they know that he created the world and things like that. But it's the it's not concrete, you know. So it's things, the idea that, you know, God is everywhere. You know, what does that actually mean, okay? You know, the idea that God is my friend, so it's not just somebody out there. God can actually relate to them, to their real life. And again, how do we praise him? And at this age group, what sort of techniques might be useful? And then the last lesson of today, we'll be looking at the 13 to 18-year-olds. Now, by that age, they know everything there is to know, you know, in theory. You know, they are quite clever, you know, but they need to form a more personal relationship, you know, so it is a more one-to-one. And if they don't get a grasp of what, you know, having a personal relationship with God by that age, it becomes much more difficult because after that they go to university, they go to college, they leave home, you know, and if they don't have that personal relationship with God, it becomes just a concept then, you know, it's something that they learned when they went to church, rather than now God is a real part of my life, right? And again, relating to God being everywhere, you know, so it doesn't matter if they leave home, then God is still with them, you know, and that they can reflect on God. So everyday life things, they can do that themselves instead of teacher telling them that there is a God and whatever you do, that happens because God has done it. They can actually reflect upon it themselves, okay? Tomorrow, I've left two lessons. One, specific techniques to do with if you are in Africa. Now, as I said before, I canvassed quite a few brothers and sisters who've been to Africa. So even though they weren't music specialists, they told me what might be quite useful if it's something that you've considered about helping out in Africa. And the fact is, you know, because they wouldn't have had any training, they were telling me what would have been useful, okay? And there are certain things that I've done with, I teach in a boys' school, by the way, you know, so when I say my boys, I don't mean, you know, anything against girls. It is literally the boys that I teach, you know, because it happens to be a boys' school. So, you know, the African boys that I've taught, things that have actually worked better, okay? I've put in there as well this prep. I expect you to teach tomorrow, okay? So today, I will be teaching you about teaching techniques, and I will show you about the different techniques. I have left the last lesson, I expect everyone to teach, okay? Chances are, it will be between lesson 5 and 6, you know, so it may be that some of you are much more eager, you know, so you might want to, you know, get it done in lesson 5 instead of sweating it in lesson 6, right, okay? Right, any problems with that? Are we all right with that? Yeah, okay, right, before I show you my examples of things in the Bible then, can I use these pens, please?
Yeah.
Right, okay, on the board then. Right, so examples. In the Bible, examples of praise. Because the thing is, you know, sometimes, you know, do you ever get the feeling that, you know, sometimes when you have services and things like that, the hymnal is kind of like a warm-up to the service as opposed to part of the service? Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's kind of like, all right, okay, you get into the mood rather than actually using praise as part of the worship. Right? Do you see what I mean? Right, so, back to the point. In the Bible, then, don't all shout out at once, eh? Right, okay, Selena, you start us rolling, right? Examples of praise in the Bible. Praise. Or singing, or music, you know, because it's kind of interchangeable, right, in the Bible.
Do you mean you want specific characters of it, or just
anything? It can be characters, or it can be verses, it can be whatever. I mean, that's a big one, right? Okay, so we can say David, Psalms, and it might not just be David, right? Yeah. In the book of Psalms, it's loads of writers. Yeah. Now, I always think, is it Psalm or Psalms? Because it depends, right? Because different versions of the Bible, I've seen it, where it's the book of Psalms, as opposed to the book of Psalms. But anyway, right, so apart from David, who else is there?
Moses.
Yeah, there is actually in the Psalms. Moses. Who else? Oh, you don't like purple?
No.
Can everybody see purple?
Yeah.
No one colour blind?
It's visible. It's okay. Just.
I could change your colour. It just happened to be one I grabbed. Miriam? I don't know why I'm pressing harder, so that makes any difference.
Angels.
Oh, okay.
Revelation.
Yeah. Okay.
24
hours. Right, so I should really do Revelation. That's another, is it? Revelations.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Right, so really I should have put angels there, right? Sorry, what was the...
Four
elders.
Jubal. J-U-B-A-L.
Yeah. I'm trying to... Is that in Revelations, or should I do a new one?
Genesis.
Genesis.
First person. To make the
yes. there was another name with that though, wasn't there?
It's two.
Yeah, there's two. I forget.
Two.
Spell?
T-U-B-A-L.
Anything else?
Elizabeth.
Z or A. Coming up with all this test by spelling. Paul and Silas. TK 剛才說, right? Yeah. In prison. Yeah. Paul, Silas. I mean, I suppose that brings us to the next point. You know, you've named lots of people, but there's also occasions, yeah, for when it happens. So for Paul and Silas, it was while they were in prison. Right? And Elizabeth?
David playing the lyre for Saul.
Was when she was pregnant, right? Yeah. Sorry, missed that one there.
David playing the lyre for Saul.
Yes. Okay, so it was the sons of Korah and Asaph. You know, in there's actually quite a lot of, when we're talking about hymn books, for example, okay, there's a lot of hymns that are kind of outside of church hymns, if I can put it that way, where they actually use a lot of Asaph. You know, the poems, if you like to call it that, or whatever, you know, and they actually use that as part, you know, actually using that as part of their hymns they sing in church. You know, I mean, that's kind of like slightly on the, you know, by the by sort of thing. But it is, you know, it is something that's still used, and it's not something like we just read in the Book of Psalms. You know, it actually is sung. You know, we might not be used to it necessarily in our church because we just got our hymn book, right? But I teach in a Catholic school, that's why I'm saying this. Because they would actually sing psalms by Asaph, you know, as part of, they would have mass, you know. That is actually part of their praise and their worship, okay? Right, I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's a pretty good, quite a comprehensive list of people. Now, I'll show you a few, you know, some of the ideas that I came up with. You know, so apart from, obviously, we've got quite a lot of people. Sometimes we need to think about, you know, in the Bible, you know, the, as I said before, the occasions for when praise is important. And, you know, and it is a very important part of worship. You know, it's not, as I said before, you know, sometimes it feels a bit like an introduction to the service, you know, when actually in the Bible, hymns, music is a really big part, is a really important part of worshipping God. Now, I said before about splitting up the age group, and I said there was a reason for that. Now, hands up if you know about the new Sing Hallelujah. It's very new, it should be actually trialed now. Right, okay. This new Sing Hallelujah, okay, let me bring it up. Let me try to think where I put it. I've got it on my iPad. All the RE heads should have been sent a copy in UK for the new Sing Hallelujah. Now, if I bring it up on my iPad, that's probably easier. If you want to just pass it along. You know, so it's got, how many hymns? I forget.
26.
No, it's not. It's more than that.
50.
50, is that right? Yeah, it's got a lot. Okay, it's got a lot of hymns. These were actually written a year and a half ago. It was May. I'm looking at Hen because Hen was actually one of the ones I was helping do the hymn book. Now, but it's literally just being trialed right now. So all, like I said, all RE had should have been sent a link with the hymn book and the audio files, like a backing track to go with it. Now, I am going to do some of these as part of our learning. Okay? So the on my iPad is the actual book itself, right? And the it came about through MVP that was a year and a half ago now in Sunderland. Yeah. And we've been, you know, various bits of editing, toing and froing, what have you, but what we've got now is a compilation of hymns that are based on the 10 basic beliefs for 4 to 7 year olds and then another set for 8 to 12 year olds. Now that is where the split for the age groups come about, okay? And apart from those ones, there's also just some general, new general hymns for children, okay? Have you all seen the old Sing Hallelujah? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that one was written a very long time ago. I helped write that one as well. That shows you how old I am. I think it was 1995 that one was first published. That was a very long time ago. But so it's taken, what, was that, nearly 20 years? 19. Yeah, it was nearly 20 years. It's 2015. By the time it's properly published. Yeah. You know, so it's just taken that long for us to bring out a second one. But, I mean, if anybody needs the link, I mean, I think it was only two people that weren't RE teachers here, but, I mean, I don't see why you couldn't get the link, you know, for the hymns. I think it's actually quite useful, you know, so, I mean, I don't mind. I don't think US will have it yet, because I think it's just being trialed here at the minute, but I don't mind sending you the link, because it comes from me, actually, so... Yeah. So I've actually got the original, you know. So I'm quite happy to send you the link. I'll send it to you later. If you need the backing tracks, right? So I mean, that's again, it's a slight aside, in that you know sometimes, in the RE you might not have a pianist, right? But for the very young, it's actually very nice for them to sing to something. It helps. Otherwise, you know, unless you have a teacher who is really musically dynamic, right, that can really sort of jump around and start everyone singing, it's actually really hard, right? It's actually a really hard skill to, you know, to just expect children to be self-starters, you know, to start singing by themselves. So again, I've got the links for the backing tracks as well. But what I've got here is a selection of 10 hymns from the new Sing Hallelujah. Okay, so one for each of the 10 basic beliefs, which I thought were quite catchy ones, quite easy to pick up. So the idea is we are all going to learn all 10. Okay? They're very short, because they're only from 4 years old up to 12 years old. You know, that's the scope that we're working within. So the pieces are really short. They're really catchy. Now, I chose these ones because they're quite good for our own RE system in the Western Hemisphere, but they were actually really catchy ones that you can use in Africa as well. Okay, there's a reason for these particular ones, okay? And the idea is that you have it in your head, right? So you shouldn't need sheets. Therefore, I haven't printed out any sheets. Okay? But like I said, I don't mind sending you the links if you want to, you know, tonight before you go to bed, you go, oh, quickly learn these ones. And I'm going to teach these tomorrow. Right? Okay, but we will learn them for the 4 sessions is what I mean. Okay? Okay, so our first lesson then. Okay, Bible examples, as I said. Okay, the purpose for singing, the reason for singing, and then the wider context. Now, bear those in mind when we go through these few slides, okay? Because it's quite important. We know we named all these people. We know who they are. You know, we know where it's recorded. But it's funny how most of you named names rather than an occasion. I don't know if it's because we started off with a name and we just kind of like carried on with names. But you kind of automatically focus on that, don't you? You don't really think, oh yeah, in the Bible, they sang hymns for a dedication. You know, you don't automatically come up with that. You know, you think, oh yeah, David sang hymns or sang psalms. But you don't really think about why. Yeah, you know, why did he do that? In what context did he do that in? What was the reason and for what purpose were the hymns being used, okay? Now, this is my example, and someone already mentioned it, about Miriam and Moses. Now, we know that when crossing the Red Sea, you know, when the Egyptians were behind them and in front of them was the Red Sea. And there was, you know, there was fear. And you can imagine the fear, you know. And then what did we have? We had, first one, they felt absolute despair. You know, they murmured to Moses, why have you brought us here to, have you brought us here to die? Right? And that was, you know, the immediate reaction. And we're probably... we would probably think the same, right? If the enemy's behind us and in front of us is the sea and then there's nowhere to go, right? But we find that actually in the passage in Exodus, they cried out to God. And that is a very important point. I mean, we can all complain, you know, I'm pretty good at complaining, you know, but the important thing is that they actually cried out to God at that point, right? And then through Moses, there was words of encouragement. God, through Moses, said to them, stand still, because you're going to see a great miracle. The Egyptians that's before you today, it's going to be no more. Okay? And we can see, straight after, the waters went onto the Egyptians. The Israelites by that time had escaped, but the water miraculously, you know, fell on the Egyptians. On that day, we see that God gives the Israelites salvation. God saves the Israelites at that point. For the Israelites, they witness God's great power. You know, before they murmured, I mean, I'm sure they believed who God was. You know, I'm sure they all knew that God could save them. But first, you know, firsthand, they can see that God is saving them. You know, right in front of their eyes, they can see their enemies being defeated. And they didn't actually do anything. They didn't, you know, bring out their swords and, you know, fight them or anything like that. It was God who did the great deed. And then the fear of the Lord came upon the Israelites, you know. And that goes back to the point before. At that, right at that point, you know, the Israelites could actually see God. You know, they can experience God. They can see God everywhere. You know, that brings us back to the older group, okay? Now, the second one, about contrition. Sometimes you can sing about contrition. You know, the Israelites sung about the victory. Moses and Miriam sung about victory, and she came up with her tambourine and things like that, didn't she? Right? But sometimes you can sing because you have done wrong. You know, you have done something against God. And that was the case with David. Now, sometimes in the Bible, we'd have prayers, but it's also a hymn. You know, they're kind of interchangeable, right? And in, that is the case in for David. We know that in Psalms 51, he writes about the fact that he has sinned against God in the case of Bathsheba, okay? And we can see in what ways was he contrite, you know, how he asked for God's forgiveness. That's the first thing, right? Through that psalm, his words, we can see that he asked God for, you know, to forgive him for the wrong that he had done. And we can see his feelings at that point. He showed God his feelings, you know, and his, in that point, his feelings were the feelings of guilt because he had shed blood, you know, for, it was Bathsheba's husband, wasn't it? Yeah. But we can also see that there is action. Now, it's very important, you know, when we talk about asking God for forgiveness, we need to actually do something. You know, I always say to my son, you know, when he does something wrong, and all he does is cry, you know. And I say, you know, you can't just cry. You've got to actually do something about that. In the future, you can't do that again. you know, and I keep saying that again and again, because I just cries. But, you know, but that's sometimes the same for us, right? You know, we might do something wrong, and then we pray to God and we cry, right? And we, you know, ask God forgiveness, yeah. But, you know, it's important that we acknowledge that we have done something wrong, you know, and that was the case for David. You know, he acknowledged, you know, if you read that psalm, he actually says that he knows that he has done wrong, you know, and what he has done is against God. And that is, you know, is an important part. And for him, he wrote this psalm, you know, to show his contrition, okay? Next one. Now, it's an obvious one. We all know that, you know, when we sing, we sing hymns, and very often it is about praise and worship, okay? And now, in the case for Hezekiah, it was about opening the temple doors. He cleared the temple, because the temple had been shut before, and he got the Levites to come in and clear out the temple, clean out the place, and repair whatever needed repairing. And then afterwards, you know, he gathered all the people. He made sure the Levites had purified themselves, and then they sacrificed. And then he gathered all the Israelites, and they again sacrificed to God in praise and in worship. And the way they did it was they worshipped and they praised it with gladness. Right? Sometimes, you know, I mean, that seems really obvious, right? But sometimes, you know, we gather to praise God, and, you know, it's kind of out of, I don't know, you know, out of habit, you know, rather than, you know, with a real gladness of heart. You know, but if you read the passage in 2 Chronicles, they gathered together, and it was in gladness that they gathered and they praised God. Now, they also offered. Now, they didn't just gather and that was it. You know, they offered what they had. You know, they had all the different animals and what have you at that point, you know, to sacrifice to God. And then what I found quite interesting was that they actually not just sang. They had lots of different musical instruments and so on. Now, different churches, I know, do it in different ways, right? And some churches are quite open to the idea of using different instruments. In Newcastle, we have the piano, and that's really it. You know, and the odd times, I think, for choir exchange, we use instruments, right? Last year's choir exchange. They're actually having the choir exchange today in Newcastle, so I'm not quite sure what they're using this time. But I have, perhaps maybe we can share. You know, I mean, I think in London you've used various instruments, right? So, I mean, for what purpose? So, as in, is it as part of convo or, yeah? Uh-huh. Is it an evangelical service or is it for the convocation? Do you see what I mean? Is it internal or external is what I mean?
It's for evangelism.
Yes.
It's more like music. It's more hymns, but there's still a message.
So it wasn't part of convocation per se?
But it was during convocation.
Oh, okay, right.
But it wasn't evangelical.
Yeah.
In church.
Yeah. Anywhere else? What do you do in Leicester? Yeah, guitar. And as part of what?
So for convocation.
I'm looking at Portsmouth and going Leicester.
Do
you know what? I played in Portsmouth for the wedding. I played my cello. Yes, but that again was a very, very long time.
Yes, it was just this
wedding,
right?
Yeah. And no, it was even before that, you know.
Is it?
It was a very long. It was actually before the dedication.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Oh, so long ago, when you even born. Oh, my goodness. It was that long ago. But in US, do you do anything specific?
Mostly just piano. They were pretty traditional then. Yeah.
I mean, we're in Newcastle, we're very traditional. Yeah. So, it's for us, it's just a piano. But
we have no organ.
Yeah. which got shafted. But just piano?
I mean, there might be, for WDC we had like huge orchestra. I mean, sometimes like a single church might have their own orchestras, but it's just it's still mostly piano. It's like mainly, yeah.
Did I not say drum?
Oh, you mean the WDC? They play like one, whatever drum you call it, which is one single drum, like as part of, like trying to create like a symphony feeling.
As part of the orchestra, wasn't just one person on the drum and that's it.
There was all kinds of percussion going on to mimic the "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory" Battle Hymn of the Republic song.
Right.
Yeah.
And
trumpets.
And they were all the not performers. The musicians were all in houses. Is that what?
Yeah, they're all like kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, teenagers.
So they obviously have lessons already on those instruments, right?
Yeah. Okay. So it was pretty good, but that was the only time we had like a grand thing. Yeah.
And obviously, because it was a worldwide. Thing. Yeah. Edinburgh. Anywhere else in Europe?
Piano, guitar mainly.
Mm-hmm. Just as part of service or any specific?
Part of service sometimes for evangelical service, weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually I've seen it quite a lot in weddings. Again, in Newcastle we're very traditional, we have piano. But I think generally, and other places, I mean, you don't really have that as part of your normal service, right? You don't. It's just the piano generally, you know, and it's really for, I don't know, it's special occasions, you know, once a year type things where you would have other instruments, right? Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look in the Bible, it is actually more or less like that, isn't it? You know, if you look at the different examples in the Bible, it is for special occasions, like in Hezekiah. It was, you know, opening the temple doors when they had a special occasion. That's when they brought out the instruments and what have you. And you see that in the case of David as well, you know, when he would, again, you know, get the people who had specific musical talent to bring out the instruments. Okay? Now, again, that brings us to the wider context then, the role of music in the Bible and how does it apply to us today. Right, so another example would be Nehemiah, when there was a dedication of the wall. Okay, he actually had choirs. Right, so it wasn't just one set of choir, you know, like we normally do. I mean, in Newcastle, we have lots of choirs. You know, we had, you know, obviously there's a children's choir, there's two youth choirs, there's an adult choir, and every so often we do like a combined choir and things like that. You know, so I mean, we have done it before, I think for our 25th anniversary, conducted for that one. I think it was about 100 people in the choir, you know, and that's because it was a combined of all the choirs. You know, so I mean, it's on a similar sort of idea. You know, what did Lester do when you had your dedication? Because I didn't come down. So how did you do?
We had an adult choir and then a youth choir.
Not a combined choir. You did a combined as well. Yeah. And is that when you had your instruments?
Yeah.
So yeah, I suppose in many ways we're actually doing as it is in the Bible. You know, the way that I don't know the format. I suppose it's quite similar. You know, and if you see the Bible reference there, you know, so now that the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate their dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. You know, so, I mean, in many ways, that is actually quite similar, you know, to what we would do today for spiritual and evangelical convocation or dedication. Now, specialist musicians. Now, some of you have already mentioned about people who play different instruments. And as I said before, you know, when David set men over the service of songs in the temple, again, looking at the passage, you see, now these men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord, after the ark came to rest, they were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of meeting, until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. They served in their office according to their order. Okay? Now that's quite interesting. They actually had dedicated musicians, right? Now, we're kind of like more ad hoc, right? We don't have dedicated musicians as such. You know, but it's quite interesting that in the Bible that, you know, in some ways they were more advanced. You know, they actually had, maybe we have dedicated workers in church, obviously, with the preachers and what have you, but we don't have dedicated musicians. You know, so, I mean, maybe that's something we can think of in future. But, you know, but for us today, a lot of our specialist musicians might be your choir members, might be your conductors, you know, the pianists, hymnal leaders. You know, those people would have been chosen, you know, because they have a special interest or a special skill that they are willing to offer. You know, so it is, you know, similar in that sort of sense. Can I move on to the next slide? Now, as part of every day then, now we all have our own daily acts of worship. You know, you worship in your own way. Now, what we do, what my family does at home, you know, we read the Bible every day. But, you know, interestingly enough, as a music teacher, I don't actually do that much singing per se at home. You know, I don't necessarily teach my children to sing hymns. You know, but even though they do actually know quite a lot of hymns, probably because Hen teaches my son, you know, and, you know, he does come home and he knows quite a lot of the hymns in the Bible, in the hymn book. But in the Bible, it actually does tell us, you know, as Paul says in Colossians, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know that you ought to know how you ought to know what. How to answer each other, you know. So, I mean, our speech is also, you know, through our singing, you know, and it is, you know, it's another way of speaking, you know, and it is quite an important part of it, you know. And again, you know, so it's something to consider, you know, in your family altar, you know, for your services. I mean, we read the Bible every night, we'll pray together every morning, every night, you know, with maybe, you know, singing. You know, sometimes singing is a, you know, it's a good way of knowing words of the Bible as well as reading the Bible. Now, come to my favourite bit. Now, if you don't know already, I compose for part of the YTTC booklet. There's a few people sitting here who do that as well. Now, already mentioned together before, we talked about David, we talked about Asaph, sons of Korah. You know, they were specialist musicians who composed. You know, you can be a musician, but you don't necessarily compose, I mean, because it's a different skill, right? You know, but in the Bible, there are quite a lot of people who composed. You know, and it is something that a lot of people can do. You might not compose the melody, but there's a lot of people who compose the lyrics. You know, there's a lot of people who send me lyrics, you know, just throughout the year. They do, Christine, I know, and it's a strange one. You think, really? They do. You know, every so often I get a nice email going, oh, I'll come up some lyrics, you know, for you sort of things. Like, oh, thank you very much, you know, because I have to say, I'm not great with lyrics. You know, I write melody, you know, and, you know, I do write lyrics for some of the pieces that I compose. I've mentioned there about the YTTC booklet. But quite a lot of the pieces that I write is somebody else's lyrics, because, you know, sometimes writing a nice tune is one thing, but actually the lyrics is more important, you know, because it's that bit that is the praise element, you know, the actual bit that people can get the encouragement from, you know, because a nice melody might move you because it's a nice tune, but move you to do what? Right? Do you see what I mean? You go, oh, that's such a beautiful tune, you know, but what does that mean? It doesn't actually mean all that much without the lyrics, you know. know, it's the lyrics that is important for us in church. You know, it's that bit that where you would actually get more encouragement. You know, when people say they're moved by the melody, what they mean is it's a nice tune. You know, they like the sound of that tune, right? But that's not the same as being encouraged, because you can really only be encouraged because there are words, you know? So, you know, I would encourage you all to write lyrics. You know, if you have something you want to say, right, then write it down. So even though you might think, oh, well, I can't really put it to a tune, you know, or you think, oh, it doesn't really fit in a song, right? But if you send it to me, you know, I might be able to do something with it. Or if I can, I can send it to somebody else who can, right? Okay, but look in there, as I said, the Sing Hallelujah, many moons ago when there was a group of us who did that. Sing Hallelujah 2, again, you know, a group of people came up with the lyrics for that. You know, and then another group of people came together and, you know, added a tune to it, or vice versa. You know, it just depends which way round you like to compose. Now, I know there are various Taiwanese publications that has different brothers and sisters who've composed different songs and what have you. And I know that certainly in Newcastle we've used various ones. But the big one really is YTTC. I keep promoting that because I'm in charge of that one. you know, that every year, you know, lots of people do write music for Theo to be sung, you know, and I've got various people that I speak to in America as well, and we swap resources, you know, so I've sent my things over and they send me things, and in fact, the year gone, there was a few songs that were sung by a sister in America, Tina, is her name. Is it Tina Yang?
Yeah,
Phoenix. Yeah. You know, so like I said, we've done it, so it's vice versa. And I know a few of the ones that were sung for like YTTC here has been used in one of the sisters actually did a gap year in China, and so she wanted some pieces, so I sent her some pieces that had already been translated into Chinese. So she taught those in some of the churches in China. There's a few that's been used in, I think it was Singapore. Yeah, I think it was Singapore. You know, so, I mean, it is something that's, you know, if you are inspired, you know, to write something, it is some, you know, it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Right, now let me just check my watch. We've got about 5 minutes for lunch, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so I'll have to teach you the hymns in the next session then. Now, couple of things for you to think about, okay? Or some, you know, we'll get up on our feet and we're going to do these, okay? Now, I bet you don't do warm-ups in hymnal when you teach children. I bet you don't. I bet you just go, right, okay, children, what hymn do you know? Let's sing, right? Okay, and that is your warm-up. But actually, it's quite good to get the children into the right mood. Right, especially the very young, right? You might think, oh, well, when it's hymn singing, they should sit still. You know, it's like, everybody sit still now, it's hymn singing, right? And that, you know, might work for a certain time, but certainly for the very young, they actually need to move, don't they? You know, if you keep saying to them, sit down, it doesn't work, you know? They like to be up on their feet, you know? So it might be a good idea to do like a warm-up with them, so they know, right, we do the warm-up, that means we sing, right? And then straight after the warm-up, you know, it's kind of like training, it's brain training, you know? So you do a warm-up, and thereafter you sit down to sing, right? Do you see what I mean? Now, the warm-up. Now, I have to say, this is from my sister, because she teaches the very, very young. I don't. Now, I was going to say, hey, I'll borrow your scarf, but Lynn, can I borrow yours? Because yours is probably a bit more appropriate. Sorry, Christine, yours is too heavy. Right. Okay, everybody, up on your feet. Okay, put down your books. Okay, I do apologize. I meant to take a scarf and I forgot. Okay, now the first one, you can see there. Scarf or choo-choo. Okay, when they're very young, they, you know, for a warm-up. You want to warm up their voice, but you want to warm up their body as well. You know, now, I don't know if you know Rachel Shack in Newcastle. She's great. She's absolutely brilliant when they're very young. She used to teach children's choir, and you know, she got them to sing really, really well because she did lots of really, really clever warm-ups. Now, scarf, okay? You can say to the little kids, you know, like, ooh, follow the scarf. Woo! You see? Woo! Right? You go, woo! Like that. Okay? So, you're all going to have to pretend you've got a scarf. Right? Pretend you're going to, you know, if the children don't have a scarf, you can give them an imaginary scarf. So, there, Selena, that's your imaginary scarf. Yours is a fairy scarf. Right? And do you see what I mean? And you give everyone, oh, you've got a scarf. You've got a scarf. Sorry, I'll give you back to there's one for you. And so on. Oh, you've got a scarf. There you go. You can take your jacket off. So go like that. Right, so everybody's scarf, right? And if boys are a bit funny about scarves, you might want to think of something else that they can throw up that's quite light. Right? Because if you give them the image of something like, yeah, a tissue would be good, except obviously sometimes they start. Yeah. Especially very young ones, they start going like that and you'll be picking them off the floor. Imaginary one is good. Or, you know, just, you know, sometimes you can get really lightweight ones. Okay, get ready. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Did you catch it?
Okay.
Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Now, little children will be going like this.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and they're knocking to each other. Right? So you've got to tell them you've got imaginary circle. Okay, everybody's got their own imaginary circle. And they're not allowed to step outside. Because you know what it's like with little children? You know, they start prodding each other and knocking and budging and things like that. So that's why, like, an imaginary one is actually probably better. So we go, oh, well, you know what? That wasn't enough. I think we need to try again. Everybody ready? Catch! Did you catch it? Did you catch it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're all very good children. Oh, well, I think maybe we can go with your neighbour. Now, if you have children that are maybe that little bit older, or maybe if they are, I don't know, not in Newcastle. Newcastle, the nursery class is over 20, you know, so probably, you know, they're more difficult. But if you say, if you had only maybe 6, right, so you can pair them up. And if you have an odd number, you have to pair up with them because they get upset, don't they? Right? So go with your neighbour, right? And you are going to throw your scarf to your neighbour. But we are kind children, right? We are kind, so we're going to show each other kindness. So have you all got a partner? Can you face your partner? So, you know, so you'll be like practicing so that each week they know what they're doing. Do you see what I mean? So they're not every week going, oh, they were my partner last week. Oh, no. Do you see what I mean? So they might have, you might already have paired them up, right? So that every week they have the same partner. Because otherwise, you know, it takes forever. And it's only meant to be a warm-up. It's not meant to take forever, right? So you just go, right, with your partner ready? Woo! Catch. Now you can go woo, you can go ee, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's like you can just practice different sounds. Okay? Now maybe the next one is probably more appropriate for boys, right? We said choo choo.
Oh.
Right? So everybody's sitting on their floor. Because we're little children. We don't necessarily sit on seats, right? Some of the classes might sit on seats, some of them don't. Right? So when we're on the train, so imagine we're one behind another, so we're all going to face, we can go round, face one another. Right, so do you see what I mean? So in a big circle. we don't want to crash over there. Right? You know, so we're on the train, children, everyone's on the train, and we go, ooh, ooh. Okay, so again, you're exercising your throat, you see what I mean? So you're actually just warming up your throat before the hymn singing, right? And then you can turn around, because these are quite active children, they're never going to sit for very long, and you've got to keep moving, you know, with little children, because they can't sit for long. You have to move the activity on quite quickly, and then you go, all right, the train's going, and okay? Right, okay, back on your seats. that's just a quick warm-up, okay? Now, other things that you can do, and I'm going to be doing these techniques when we learn the pieces in the next session. Now, you can clap the feet. You know, sometimes when you teach children and you sing and they sing back to you, that's great. That's called learning by rote, right? And that is a brilliant way of learning. I mean, it still works. I mean, it's like hundreds of years old, but it works. It's a great way of doing it. But sometimes, you know, they don't know the timing. So you might play the tune or you sing the tune and you want them to clap. You know, clap to the beat. Okay? And that way they can work out where the accents fall or where's the fast bit, where's the slow bit. Right? And again, it's about changing the activity. You know, so it's not just, you know, I sing a bit, you sing, I sing, you sing. And then you don't know it, I sing again, and then you sing again, right? So it's just something else, okay? Now, you can do follow the lyrics. Now, do you all use a hymn book? Or do you use sheets? Or do you write lyrics? What do you do? Yeah? Right, do you use, like, say, for the younger bunch, do you use, like, Sing Hallelujah, the book?
Yeah.
You won't use any, right?
You will.
Yeah.
Our kids are quite small.
Now, obviously for the slightly older ones, where you would look at lyrics, okay? So when if you had, say, the hymn book, right? And you, and it doesn't matter if it's a children's hymn book or our normal hymn book. If you're teaching them to sing, or if it's a hymn that they're not familiar with, it's quite useful to play the tune and then stop and get them to work out which word it is. And when you do that, you know that they are actually learning, right? Sometimes you play the tune and they go, all right, everybody sing. They haven't caught it, you know, they haven't got it yet, right? And you expect them to sing, and then you think to yourself, why have they not learned it? Right? Right? You know what I mean? And you think, well, I've done my bit, why have they not learned it? It's because, it takes a while for the tune to go into their heads, right? And it takes a little bit longer for the lyrics to go into their heads, right? So, if you play the piano, right, and you play the tune, and then you stop halfway through the sentence, right, and you go, right, what word did I stop on? Right? They love that, you know, especially about the kind of 9, 10-year-olds, they love that sort of game, and you know that they get really competitive, you know, they go, oh, 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 I know, and then, you know, they hate it when they get it wrong, you know, and they just go, oh, no, but it was, you know, and what I like doing is actually stopping in the middle of a word. You know, because that's a real challenge, you know. So if it's a word with like 3 syllables, right, it's like, I don't know, import, what, for, importantly, let's say for, okay, right? And then I stop on in poor, right, and then they go, oh, no, that was importantly. I say, aha, but which part of the word? You know, and they go, and they really concentrate, you know, and then they'll work out exactly where you stopped on, you know. And, you know, and then I say I stop on that particular word. I'll say, right, okay, I'm going to start from the next line. So they need to follow. They're actually looking and they're listening and they're following. You know, so you're actually teaching lots of different skills at the same time. Okay? Now, other things that you can do. Now, and again, I'm going to do that in the next session. In the Sing Hallelujah 2, we're going to try and create some verses. You can see there. Okay, some, you know, some hymns are very, it lends itself quite easily to that, you know, you can just, you know, change one or two words and it becomes a new verse, you know, I don't know, say if you had a hymn about, say, animals, right, God created what animal, you can go, God created the sheep, blah, 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 God created the cows, blah, 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 do you see what I mean, especially for the very young. You know, and then you can bring in other things like the actual, like a toy sheep, and then the toy cow, right? And then they can actually fill in the blanks as they sing, right? And they go, okay, this verse we're going to sing about, and then they go, oh, that's a sheep, right? And then they know that they're singing about that particular animal, okay? Rounds, you can see that. Rounds are great for little kids because it actually teaches them how to work together. Right, and you know that somebody, you can do something, somebody else can do something slightly different, but you're working together, right? And the last one is about rhymes. Now, most of the hymns, to be fair, the children's hymns do rhyme, you know, so it should be quite easy to memorize, okay? Now, that's the aim in the next few sessions. You're going to memorize. Yes. You're going to memorize 10 hymns, Okay?
I'm too old.
It's children's hymns, you'll be fine. Okay? Right, anyone got any questions?
How long did you say the warm-ups for the children?
It really would be a matter of minutes. Okay. You know, generally in Newcastle for the very young class, the nursery class, they go into the class and they play first. Right? I don't know how it works in the other churches. They go and play. And then when it's hymn singing, they all sit around to sing. But instead of just go, right, okay, children, everybody sit down, we're going to sing. We can actually go, right, okay, warm up. Everybody knows the positions. Right, do you see what I mean? So every week you do the same thing. And then you have your partner. And you are with your partner in the same spot. So straight after the warm up, you sat down. Right? Instead of, you know, like rounding sheep, you know, go, right, okay, time, it's time now. And you're grabbing this one, grabbing that one, do you know what I mean? And then they don't sit down because that one stood up and then you've got that one sat and then that one stood up. Do you see what I mean? Yeah? But it should not take long. But it is just a quick exercise so that they know what's happening and it warms them up so they know it's time to sing. Right, any questions? No? Okay, so the next three sessions, we're going to look at the three different age groups, and we're going to learn all the hymns. Yay. Yeah? Okay, let's have a silent prayer. Thank God for guiding us in this session.